Our Father, we're very grateful today that you have allowed each one of us to stand up and to get up this morning and to make it to a place to gather with other believers. Father, there's no telling what our city would look like if there were no people gathering today to worship you. And we're just grateful for the hundreds of thousands of people in our city that love you and talk to you and do their best to serve you. And we would pray today that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts in a very special way. And we pray, Father, that you know our families, those that are close to us, and you know the needs of each and every person. And so we're asking as we hear this message today that you would reach out to those people that are the closest to us, that sometimes are the hardest to speak to. Lord, we thank you so much for your love and care and concern for people. And we know you always get a bad rap. And if we could only see the things that would have happened to us if you hadn't been working behind the scenes. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the book of Romans that we've been able to do chapter and verse through and learn about your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that you've used Israel as a picture of your grace and your love and how that they turned from you and then you turned towards the Gentiles. We're very, very grateful. We know that you're just using the Gentiles to show your glory and your grace. And Father, as you wrap up human history, we would pray in Jesus' name that we could be a part of it with you. We pray, Father, that you'll just walk through the aisles right now, lay your hand on everyone's shoulder, and bless these people. Just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would please turn to Romans chapter 10, where we left off, our last message. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? Quote, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? Well, first Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will anger you by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and a contrary people. Well, that whole chapter basically confirms to you today if you're going to go to heaven or not. It makes it very simple, simpler than a lot of times theologians want to make it. Verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's pretty simple. Just ask yourself, can I confess with my mouth right now that Jesus is Lord? You know, there's another verse we'll see as we continue beyond. And it says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit of God. So there's no way that a person can just let it flow out of his mouth and say that Jesus Christ is Lord unless the Holy Spirit's living within him. So Paul says, if you confess, so you make it a public confession with your mouth, the Lord Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. I've tried my best to help my family know and love Jesus. I'm not embarrassed about Jesus. I give to the work of Jesus. I pray for the work of Jesus. I'm involved with the work of Jesus. And I could go on confessing Jesus for you. So there's no doubt of who I am. So I'm so wildly, madly in love with him, the best thing God could do is make me a minister, because he wants the weak so that he can show his strength, but he definitely wants people serving him who love him. So I think to legalize me so I wouldn't be a weirdo on the streets, I got ordained and became a minister and an upright citizen and a normal dude in some people's eyes. But there it is for any of you that doubt, and any of you that came, you haven't been to church for a long, long time. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's all. Believe what? That God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's faith. When faith is released, then things happen in your life. And so he says, what's the next step? Is that faith? But how do you hear about this unless the word is preached? But how can it be preached unless a man has been sent? And that's the word. So we found out in verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and the hearing is of the Word of God. It's not of religious or esoteric things or spacey things. It's the Word of God. I would like to leave that with you, and we'll look at that in depth later. But I'd like you to take your pens out right now, if you have a pen or a pencil or a crayon or a lipstick tube or whatever you want, an airbrush. And this is very important for you. Brethren, so he's talking to Christians and Jews, his brothers. My heart's desire, I'd like you to do it in steps here. First of all, write down the word, my heart's desire. And even put a S by it if you have more than one desire. And as I'm speaking, just write down 4 or 5 or 10 or 50, whatever you want to do. What's your heart's desire as you sit there right now? What is your desire? Or desires, plural. Something only you would know. Maybe you've made it known, but that's what he's doing. My heart's desire. And prayer. So you underline that second part of this. And prayer. Do you realize what happens when you get your list of desires covered by prayer? Very quickly you start crossing out things that isn't what you really desire. Because from the lips we have learned proceed the abundance of the heart, Jesus said. And so as you're talking to the Lord in prayer, your real desires are made manifest. So some things that you and I desire are really not good for us or helpful for anybody else, but we still desire them, and God has a way of showing us they're wrong. So put all of your desires in prayer. And he says, my heart's desire and my prayer, so he's lined his desires up with prayer, to God for Israel, is that they may be saved. Now look on your list and see if you put down anyone that you have a desire in your heart that they should be saved and go to heaven with you. Because that's his desire for all the people of Israel, that they should be saved. They would go to heaven. Their sins would be forgiven to them. And what this is a picture of a heart that in a sense we should all have, that our heart's desire is for what we have found in God's love be transferred to other people by us. And it doesn't take you being a stadium preacher. I know Greg Laurie, who just started doing this Harvest America. It'll be the first year for Harvest America. He'll do the regular Harvest outreach. But they had, 8 or 10,000 people accept the Lord last year in Southern California. And now there's 1,500 churches from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast that are now involving tens of thousands of people. And I've known Greg since he was 17 years old. And this was his desire and my desire when we were first in serving the Lord, that we just wanted people in our country to get saved and come to the Lord. And so you want to have a heart's desire in prayer. Focus them up and watch the spiritual things surface out of your heart. And then the worldly or the carnal or the fleshly things will just naturally go away. Your life will immediately change because you'll be a man that God can use. You'll be a woman that God can use. There was a young man, probably a teenager at the time. His name was Samson. And Samson had taken the Nazarite vow. And that vow included that he would not drink wine. He'd keep himself pure from women and sex. He would let his hair grow and never cut his hair. And those were three of the major things of the Nazarite vow. And he had a special gift from God. He was extremely strong. But he had a problem with his flesh. His flesh loved women. And so he was always backsliding. And he went into the Philistines' camp. And the Philistines were enemies of the Israelites. And he fell in love with a young woman there. And he came home and he told his dad, "I want you to go get that woman to be my wife." And his mother and his father pleaded with him, "Don't do this. Don't shame our family by this. For we have no dealings with the Philistines." And he didn't care. So he went down and to their town and he went in and he slept with her. And he committed sin before God. And before the sun rose, the Philistines knew that here he was, this troublemaker, and they had secret police waiting outside for him. Now, one time, regressing for just a moment, back in the 80s, our church sent three truckloads of food to Poland. It was the winter time. There was a food shortage. People were dying. The Russians had said they were coming on the border of Poland. There was martial law. The government had... all the phones were tapped. Spies were everywhere. And so we got a permit. Actually, we were told at one time we were the only Americans in Poland and that we had more food in any one of our trucks than any market in Poland had. So that was a great honor to drive 39 hours without sleep across Europe with these trucks and then deliver them. And I was taken into this church that those of you who went to the festival the 2 years we did them there in 2004 and 2005 or 6, how great it was to go into that Catholic church. In the afternoon, they had a special service, and I was the speaker, but I wasn't supposed to be speaking as a foreigner. And so the secret police, about a dozen of them, came in, and it was like a movie. I was sitting on the floor, and I was going to get up to speak, and I knew that if they started arresting people, they would arrest me. I was just going to grab the legs of the people sitting on both sides of me in that front row, and then I would just stay there. They weren't going to get me. That's what I thought. And I saw a shadow on the wall of this one secret policeman. It was just the profile of him. And the Catholic priest, the priest of that parish, was standing. You see his profile, and the cop was just shaking his fist at him. And it was because he is going to let me speak. So to intimidate, they had cops in the balcony, plain clothes. They had a secret service guy at every door of the church, and they put this guy with biceps beyond biceps in front of me. I mean, he stood right where I was speaking within just a little more than an arm's length. And the whole time he stood there with these huge biceps and this, you know, skinny waist and muscles, and he is intimidating me. And so I got really nervous about that. But they waited. And as it was over, the crowd just sort of mingled towards the front, and I was able just to move with the crowd, and they couldn't get me. It was a very special time, to say the least. And so they said, stay here. We will come back and get you later. So the police followed the van that the musicians were in, the Polish musicians, and I stayed underneath an oak tree beside the church in the dark. And the wind was blowing, whoosh, the leaves were making noise, and I'm in the shadows thinking, what am I doing here? They got stopped by a roadblock. They said, where's the American? We want him out of here right now. He's going to jail. They said, we don't know what you're talking about. You do too. You were there singing. We're really not aware of any American. What are you talking about? And then they went and let their gear off. And then they came back another way around town to get me. And they had a roadblock at that side. So when they came back, it was about 11:30 at night. And the Polish guy said, watch this. And I said, what? And he drove off into the country. And I said, isn't it best to go that highway back? And he says, no, we like to do this. Look in the back of the back window. And here we are out in the country, and there's two cars behind us, maybe a quarter mile or so, tagging us. But this was the worst road you could go on. It's full of potholes. And these people knew every pothole, and they knew how to get around them. So anybody that was going to follow them had to pay the price. And so they did. 2 a.m, we got back home and to their house, and it was over with. Those people, the Kroll family, had a heart and still do. They led 600,000 people to the Lord since we have been there with the festival team on the internet, on the Polish internet. It's amazing. They've set up a radio network, the only Christian radio network broadcasting the gospel and Christian music throughout all of Poland. Now it's on the internet, and it reaches out to all of Europe as their outreach. But Poland is an amazing place. You've never been there. But they paid a great price. And these two brothers and sisters were all PhDs. One was a PhD in electrical engineering. The sister was a design engineer, but Henry was an engineer in automotive design. And all three of them won national awards, but they always preached Jesus. Even in their classrooms, they talk about Jesus. And they learned this from their father. And the father, when he died, had 5,000 people at his funeral service. He had such an impact as a godly man under communist rule. And the police would come, they said, in the middle of the night, bang on the door and try to scare us. And then father would answer, and we would hear them yelling at him and cursing father. And then mother would gather the three of us, and we would look down over the railings to the bottom floor where they were, and we would just pray till these police officers would go. But every night that this happened, father took the senior officer and the junior officers into the family room area. And he'd pull out the family Bible, and he would show them in the Bible why he believed in God and why he talked about Jesus in his classrooms. And then he would give them an opportunity to pray and accept the Lord. The father was a brilliant guy. He raised 3 PhDs, but he was so on fire for Jesus. And after a while, as the kids grew up, they realized that their father was loved by the secret police. And many of them had become Christians and accepted Jesus. So when young recruits came on the job, they would go to his house under the guise of this guy talked about God in the classroom and bring him in, and then he'd lead the young ones to the Lord. That's amazing, huh? 5,000 people at his funeral. And it's an amazing family. They still are very, very active, and they've asked us to come back in 2014 and do an outreach to the 600,000 that have accepted the Lord, as many as would come on their vacation, and we'll have a discipleship festival for those people. My heart's desire, my prayer to God concerning my nation, is that they may be saved. Boy, I'm telling you, this is the time to be concerned for your nation. we're in big, big, big trouble. And we need to pray for our nation. Now, he said this about them, though. I bear them witness. I agree. I've watched the Jewish people. I was one of the spiritual leaders, religious leaders, that they have a zeal for God. Now, you know many people that have a zeal for God. One of the ladies from Ethiopia, I believe, she won the 800 meter, I think, and the Olympics this week. And she finished and reached inside of her tank top and pulled out a picture of Mother Mary and baby Jesus and kissed the picture and shook it at the camera that they could all see that she was seeking help from Mary and from Jesus. And then others, our women's team, all four of them on the, the 4x400? All four of them have won medals and are all Christians, and they catch them in these circles praying, the four of them, before or after a match, and the announcers always say, and here's the American team discussing strategy for how they're going to, and I said, no, that's not what they're listening to the strategy from God. All right. There are a lot of people that have zeal for God. They can bring out their prayer beads. They can wear their big cross around the neck. They can talk to people about God. But then there are people that have a zeal without a knowledge, and they become dangerous. There are people like that in our lives. Now, I don't know all the things about God, nor do I know everything about Jesus, but I sure love them both, the Father and the Son. And I love the Holy Spirit being in my life, because he keeps me out of trouble, basically. And I thought of this. How wonderful it is to have zeal for God with knowledge, because now you just learned that salvation comes when you have the knowledge of the Word. And all you have to do is say, I believe that Jesus is Lord, and I believe God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. That's what he said. That's simple. It's faith that you believe somebody has paid the price for your crimes against heaven. And there is a dossier on all of us in heaven. And we have sinned against heaven and the kingdom that is off of this planet. And that's why Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is life. Your parents are out there, your grandparents, your friends that you know that have died. They're out there. There is a world is real, if not more real than this world that is much illusion. And to go to that world, you don't have to crawl on your knees as some people do in Mexico, over 2 miles to the facility of the Guadalupe. And their knees are bloody at Easter, and you can see them by the hundreds lined up that four-lane street, crawling, feeling that when they get there, they have earned the right to be in her presence where she apparently had manifested herself one time. You don't have to sign up. You don't need to drop out. You don't need to become a missionary. You don't need to give a penny. You don't need to do anything to get into heaven except believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Confess with your lips, Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. Simple? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Beyond that, this book is designed to show you, once you've activated your faith, how to live. Because now you have come alive, you've been born again in your spirit. Your spirit hasn't been alive until you've accepted Jesus. And now that it's alive, you must feed it like you feed your body. And so the more you spend in his word, the more you learn how to walk in the spirit so you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you become a godly woman, a godly man, and there's purpose to your life. Aside from that, there is no purpose. There is nothing. It is a vain existence, as King Solomon said. Vanity of vanity. That's all life is. You amass a lot of things. You become wealthy to leave it to people who are just going to waste it and spoil it. Everything is just so frustrating. But when God is the center of your life, you have purpose, and he has a mission designed for you. Just like SEAL Team 6, he has something for you. And when you answer that call, I guarantee you, your life will never, ever, 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 ever be the same. So this man answered the call, His life has been threatened. He has had several assassination attempts on him. And he says, look, my heart is so broken for the people I love. That's my desire, is that they would all be saved. That's a great heart to have. And the point isn't that you are willing to die for someone because someone has already died for you. Jesus has done it all. So the people that you love, that you weep over, you wake up in the middle of the night and pray for, God's going to answer your prayers. You may get to heaven before that person, but they're going to get there. God will answer your prayers. Now let me wind us down here by just going back one chapter that we spent 2 or 3 weeks studying and look at chapter 9 of Romans and look at this first verse, how closely the first three verses are to him in his heart. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. I'm working with a family right now that's going through a divorce, and there's great sorrow between the husband and wife, but then there's continual grief in the children's hearts. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I myself were accursed. That word accursed is the Greek word anathema. And when anathema was spoken, it was being cursed to the lowest hell. And he says that if God would have mercy on the people I care for and love, I would be willing to be cursed to the lowest hell and lose my salvation so that the people I love would be saved. Now, going back to my heart's desire and prayer is that. Have you ever felt that way with somebody you love? I have learned the more I pray for somebody, the more I love them. And a sign of my love for you is that I pray for you. And if I stop, or any pastor ever stops praying for the people he's serving, then his heart isn't there. But stop and think of the people now that you've got a little idea where this is going to end up. Do you really love them to this point? He's not asking you to say, I will go to hell so that my sister or my brother could find eternal life. He's not telling you that. But it is showing you how tender a human heart can be when he has all the facts. And what you've experienced for a year or 30 years or 20 years or 15 years walking with the Lord, you may say, wow, my life is so blessed. If my sister's going to lose her soul, I've been blessed by God for 20 years, 10 years, 2 weeks. I'd like my sister to spend eternity with God. So that's a soft heart. That's a tender heart. I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, in closing, go backwards in the Bible. Don't go backwards in your seat. Just go backwards in the Bible to Exodus chapter 32. Now, one daddy came to me and he said, I'd never seen this before, but I realized with my child that I have been praying for, that this is something that can only be settled by that child in God. I have done all I can for that child. Now they're on their own. And it's between God and that child. And I hope that you'll see the blessings that God has for each one of you. When the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Well, Aaron is his brother. And Aaron should have said right there, well, he's in the presence of God up on the mountain where the cloud and the smoke and the fire is. Now listen carefully. You may be looking for something to happen. You've even been praying about it. One thing this lesson says is, don't get ahead of God. Don't. Be patient and wait. You and I cannot save anybody or forgive anybody's sins. The blood of Jesus was shed We can forgive by saying, yes, I forgive you, but only the Lord can wipe them out of a person's heart. And I'm the chief sinner in this room. And yet I know that I couldn't go to you and I could say, would you forgive me? And you say, you forgive me. But if you didn't before the Lord, I'm in trouble. So listen to this story. He's on the mountaintop. God is telling him what to bring the people. He's bringing them two tablets written by the finger of God himself, etched into the tablets, the Ten Commandments. Ten commandments of how to live as a nation and as an individual and as a family. It's not overbalanced on quote-unquote religion. Four of the commandments are your relationship with God. Six of the commandments are your relationship with your family member and your friends. People. That's all. And so God was going to give this, and yet man has thousands and thousands of laws on the books. San Diego alone, let alone the state of California, let alone the United States of America. God only has 10 ways for you to make it. Just 10 simple things to remember, and if you'll do your best to live by those, you'll have a happy life. But the people say, where is he? Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings. The people sat down to eat, to drink, and they rose up to play. They didn't care about God. Hey, a chapter or two earlier, they said, the Lord our God is one God, and we shall serve you all of our days of our lives. And just because God has taken a little time with their leader, they walk away from God and start bowing to a golden cow. Now, that golden cow in my life and your life can be something else. I grew up loving music. I loved it. I listened to it on the radio all the time. I had the radio next to my bed at night. I'd listen to that as a teenager, and it became great. Now, the danger is walking around and leaving this world and having some earplugs in there, not earplugs, but some speakers going on in my ear that you can't hear what I'm listening to, and I'm just walking along, just bebopping to the tunes. That could be my golden cow, music. Idolatry of television stars, actors, actresses. That could be the golden cow. Money. Very obvious golden cow that people worship the power of money. There's so many things that can be the golden cow. It's like eating chocolate to get the endorphin rush or the serotonin so you feel good and you say, I shouldn't eat chocolate because it makes me fat. But the rush that you get is a primo rush. And you eat the chocolate and you feel good for 15 minutes and you go weigh yourself and you're a pound more. You say, well, I'll just walk over to the counter and pick up another chocolate. That should burn off at least one chocolate, don't you think? Sure. But it could be anything. We don't want anything in our life. We want to be holy and pure. You're getting ready to go away on a long journey, ladies and gentlemen. God is sifting through the world right now, separating wheat from chaff. And we don't know how many of you are weeds and how many of you are wheat except by your fruit. And so he is getting ready to evacuate planet Earth. It's called the rapture of the church. And at that point, all hell is going to break loose because there will be no salt to savor the planet. The church will be gone. And there will be no Holy Spirit to hold back all the temptations and the wickedness and the evilness that Satan has planned for those that remain. So you have to get your heart ready because in Revelation, the book says that the bride of Christ, the church, has prepared herself and made herself ready. Now, some people think they're getting their bags loaded and they are getting it all ready to go. No, you're just going to go. Just let it. There's nothing you want to take with you. Oh, I got to take my gold. The streets are made out of gold up there. So gold is really nothing but pavement. So don't hold on to anything. Just let your heart go to God. And how much more important for me to know God while I'm alive and to praise him and tell other people about him than to die this afternoon and be introduced to him for the first time and not even really know anything. At least I can say, oh, those are angels. Yeah, cool, cool. Hey, seraphim, the little dudes over there. Yeah, look at those guys. St. Peter, oh, I can recognize him over there. That's got to be Peter. Well, John the Baptist is a cinch. His head's under his arm. So, I mean, I'll notice him right away. And you're going to know so much from the Bible, and you'll fall down and you'll worship him with your mom, whoever is there. You'll hug them. It'll go on forever. It's just going to be nothing but a love journey for eternity without 1 ounce of pain, suffering, or sorrow, or sadness, or depression. Nothing, but you are in the supreme state of being that God originally created the human race to be. So we're headed somewhere. And you don't want to take Hollywood with you, do you? So why are you in love with that? What has it ever done? You go to the theater, you see it. Can't you see how they keep jacking up the filth? Because they used to say no foul words when I moved to San Diego. There were no zero foul words not that long ago. And then they came up with a rating of PG, that this takes some parental guidance. And then you never saw a man and woman take their clothes off. You never saw a man with another woman in a movie that was committing adultery on his wife. That's just nothing. You got the Orange County wives, you got the New Jersey Shore people, you got decadence everywhere being glorified. No. I mean, in my lifetime of just being in San Diego since 1974, I've seen the whole bottom fall out of our country and what's acceptable. It was so great to hear the gold medal winner say, I did this for America and the people of America, for our great country. So many of them said that. And they, like little 16-year-old Gabby said, I did it for the glory of God and for being an American. And it's just an amazing thing that there is a little spark of people that are still concerned. So the bags are getting packed, and it's just your heart being right. And God's going to take us. And we're going to be with him. But all hell's going to break out. There was some concern this summer and last summer about an asteroid hitting the Earth. There is now on the internet, you can go to it and see it, that they look in 2014 and 2036, coming right at us, that if they do hit, it would put an ice age and a nuclear winter all over the planet for decades to come. We're told in Revelations that stars are going to be falling from the sky, and the moon will be blood red, and the sun will be darkened, and the environment is going to be destroyed. There'll be very little oxygen for people to breathe because the grass will be destroyed and the oceans will have animals floating in them. So when we look at this with these people turning from God, we say, hold it. Could I ever be like that? That one minute there's a void in my life and I turn from God? Well, Moses gives us a word of advice. Verse 7, the Lord said to Moses, go, get down. That's where breakdancing started, right there. Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. We corrupt ourselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it. They have sacrificed to it. They have said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Circle that. Because when you're in the midst of worrying about yourself, God knows everything that you're hurting from, but he knows all the conversations going on around the world. He knows everything going on. He quoted the exact words. He's listening with this ear over here. You know, Aaron turned him to a golden calf, and they said, this is your God. This is who led you out of Egypt. While I'm sitting here with you, Moses, man can't do anything. And so Moses is stunned, and he doesn't even know the wickedness of the people's heart. You don't know the wickedness of my heart, nor do I of you. That's why we always have to stay pure and clean and confess our sins, because God is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness and to wash us pure. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, that I may consume them. And look at this, I'll make of you a great nation. I'll make you like Abraham. I'll have a whole new group of people. Plan A, we'll make a new nation through your loins. Plan B, that's plan B. Plan A was that he would just lead him. And look at the heart of Moses when you go to the 30th verse. And it came to pass on the next day, chapter 32 of Exodus, it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people when he came off the mountain, "You have sinned a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord and perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." And Moses returned to the Lord and he said, "Oh, these people have sinned a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold." He doesn't say wipe them out. He's like Paul the Apostle. Forgive these people. And look what he says. "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, you won't forgive that sin, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written." And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." But we do know this, that Moses could not fix the heart. Pastors cannot fix your heart. We can bring you to the Lord. We can teach you and pour our hearts out to you. We can do our best to live a godly example. But we can't fix it. Only God can fix you. And you have to be open for him to fix you and to make you whole. Or you'll be like these people the rest of your life, stiff-necked, unconcerned truly about the things of God, going to church once in a while, but never involved. Two little girls stood up and spoke of their heart's desire. And in prayer, is to go win the children of North Park. In Chaz's opening prayer, he quoted the verse I was going to have you turn to right now. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. "In the last days I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. The young men shall have visions and prophesy, and the old men will dream dreams. And upon your sons and your daughters, the children, I shall pour my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And upon my handmaids and my working class people, I will pour my spirit." You just saw 2 8-year-olds get up, filled with the Holy Spirit, telling you of what they have come up with to reach their neighborhood. Is that not amazing? I know some of you look like you're bored to death, but I'm not going by what your faces look like right now. I know that God is trying to get through you and talk to you. He's coming back very soon. And we're going to be gone, and there won't be a chance to say, "Well, I wished I would have." And yet we can take for granted what God is doing because we're in the here and now, and we're carnal, and we're lukewarm, and we're kind of neutral, and we don't throw our hearts into it, and we miss the blessing as it's right in front of you. How many dreams and heart's desires do you have concerning someone else's salvation? Has it been years since you have ever told anybody about Jesus, let alone led somebody to Jesus? Don't miss it. Jesus is doing something special. No, this is it. It's so unique. We don't need to whisper about it. You guys are on the inside. God is in this room with us. Yeah, he is. There are certain people that would be adamantly against us if they knew what you're experiencing right now. That the guy on stage is no longer talking, but God is revealing things inside of your heart. This is a miracle that he's doing right now. He's speaking to you. Many of you he has called, and you've never answered the call. Many of you have gifts that you've only used for yourself, never for the body of Christ or the kingdom of God. He wants you to praise him and to worship him and to love him, not because he's egocentric, but because he knows that this will bring blessings into your life and that you will be filled overflowing with his love, because God is love. He doesn't want to be a religious icon in your mind. He wants to be this invisible person that can speak faith, the word of faith, and how horribly some preachers on television have taken the term word of faith, and that equals to you giving a $1,000 pledge today on this program, and speak out that faith and you'll get $1,000 or $10,000 back. That's not the word of faith about money. You can have faith for money. I have faith that everything gets taken care of. I don't know how, but I just do, and it gets taken care of as I pray. It takes faith. But I got it from the Word, and the Word put faith in my heart. And I know I've got a wicked, demonic army against me. But I just had, for the first time in my life, a fulfillment and a desire in my heart, if possible, to go on vacation and sit at the beach that I love and be in the water and just hang out and be able to provide something for all of our children. And God provided the house. The food is enormous every week anyhow. But I sat with the woman I love more than anything on this planet, my wife. And I sat with her and the six kids and their spouses. And I sat with them and all of them, their children, my 18 grandchildren. And I sat with my two great-grandsons. And week after week, I'd come back and do the service. And I was able to be with all those people that are all united together because God took a loser and gave him another chance, filled him with his wisdom and his understanding and love, that I realized that here I am doing what I like the most with the people I love the most, and God has provided this, a total miracle. Then, the last day, everybody's gone, and Sandy and I are going to have our study time for a week. She had a flat tire, taking Jonathan to the San Diego airport. She was on the freeway for 3 hours. Finally, they got the tire fixed. We spent the whole next day getting a tire and getting four tires, the guy talked us into. And that was our day. Then we knew we had to give up a couple of days because Chuck was coming, and we never got the time alone. We had prayer time, but we didn't get the time just the two of us. But we looked at each other and realized God worked a miracle. Every one of our kids and grandchildren were in our arms these past couple of weeks. I don't care if you're worth $50 million and you're stingy. A dollar can't buy that, or $100 million. That's family. That's from your loins. These are your responsibilities. Man, I'm buying books like I've never bought before. Some of these grandkids are in college. Some have just graduated. I'm trying to help them all. I don't have the funds to do that. I'm not a rich guy. But somehow, I get to help them all. Just because God likes to make us all laugh and provide and to take care of. Because God loves me. God loves me more than any of you or all of you. God cares more for me than he does you. God spoils me more than he does you. God just is pleased with me more than he is you. God is just wonderful. He loves us all the same. And it's not a father that'll say, I love you, and not show up for your birthday. It's not a dad that didn't ever provide for you. He's with you every second of the day, but he lets you live your own life and make your own decisions. But he's there to help. So I thank God. I thank him that I'm breathing, that I'm standing. I thank God for you and that you're trying your best. And I thank God that he made it so simple. Just read the word and you'll grow in faith. You will know that you're saved. You're beyond the basics. You've entered a new kingdom. And you know you're going to be taken care of out there, way beyond Star Wars or anything you can imagine. And you are going to be taken care of here, but you now have a mission impossible. And to know your mission, it's going to make it fun for you. So this little boy, as you stand to your feet and we pray, did I tell you the story of the little boy with the boat? Is anybody awake? Hello? Here, please stand. I'm sitting on the beach, and I look like five houses down, And here comes a bunch of young moms with all their little children running, screaming. Moms lay out their blankets and picnics and chairs and umbrellas. This one little dude comes walking over to where I was. And on the beach was this old 40-year-old boat, little rowboat, made out of metal, aluminum. And about 4 feet long, 5 feet at the most. And it's just the thing the guy rows out into the bay where he has his boat anchored. So this little guy, he wasn't 2 years old. He's walking better than that. But he wasn't 3 years old either, I could tell. He's still a little wobbly. He walks up to that boat, this little dirty, musty old thing. And he looks at it like this. And it's as tall as him. And he walks to the other side and he looks. He tries to get on his toes. He wants inside like any boy would want. He sees in there and he doesn't know how he can get in there. So he walks up to the front of the boat. And he takes his tiny little hands, and he realizes it comes to a point. And he puts his hands there, and he leans back, and the boat moves. He jumps back. Whoa! I got to get that boat up here. And he walks up again, the second time, puts his hands right at the point, and he leans back like he's really pulling hard, and the boat moves. But what he didn't see was that his big brother, not yet seven, but not five, but he was in the sixth realm somewhere. You know, those kind of guys are almost a seven. So he wasn't a giant guy. But he had walked up at the same time, unbeknownst to himself and his brother, and he discovered the two ropes that are on the pulley that bring that boat from the mooring down to the beach so the man can climb in, unhook, row to his boat. So he was fiddling with the ropes as I'm watching the little guy his first time, and he just discovered that if he pulls this one rope, the other one went out there, and he looked up, and the boat came in where his brother was standing. So the brother says, well, that's kind of cool. And he reaches down, he pulls again, just as the little two-year-old, three-year-old guy goes, and the boat comes in further. And the other guy is not even thinking of his brother. He's just pulling that rope, and the boat keeps coming. The little guy looks at his hands like, wow, power. He was so proud of himself. And I thought, that's just how it is with the Lord. You and I are just fussing around trying to get another 2 inches out of life or whatever, you know. And the Lord's standing back there as the big brother. Come on. I'll take care of everything for you. Just let go and have fun. It's a day at the beach with the Lord. Lord God, I thank you for this great day. I thank you for Evan coming back from London last night and skipping sleep so he could be here to serve these people. Lord, we pray that you'll give him strength as he recovers from that outreach and the ministry there. Bless his boys and Sandy as they have him back. We pray, Father, that you will bless these men and women that stand in this gymnasium in front of you. I ask, Father, that the word of faith would come into all their lives, that they would realize, I want to know God more. And only they can make that choice. I know that's your choice that you'd like to see him make. Pray, Father, for those that believe in you and they have a little bit of zeal, but they honestly don't have any knowledge. May today be the beginning of a new experience with you, that they will walk with you, they'll talk with you, they'll surf with you, they'll work with you, they'll shop with you, they'll talk about their lives with you. And Lord, when it's time for the boat to be pulled in, they don't have to worry about it. You're going to pull that. You're going to take care of the heavy lifting for them. You've only asked them to believe and to confess. And now the joy of being in your family and protected by your throne against the enemies of humans. We pray that you would fill all of these beautiful people, young and old, the teenagers, the children, the moms, the dads, all these young adults, fill them with the Holy Ghost. And as they're being filled right now, Father, and heaven is opening up its blessings to them, may you lift the burdens from their shoulders and their souls, that their heart's desires and prayers would become spiritual, that their desire for their countrymen would be spiritual. And as Moses said, be willing, though you don't ask of us, because no man can save a nation. Only you can save the people of that nation. So we pray that we will be salt and light in this bland, dark society. Open the eyes of these people and let them see through the fallacies and the deception, and let them see your glorious kingdom. And may they live for you and bring that kingdom into their hearts and lives to share with others. We pray for every friend and family member that is addicted to anything. God, may you have mercy and release them. We pray for every family member that is represented here that has any mental deficiencies or is suicidal. Lord, would you bring peace to these troubled hearts, honoring these that stand before you. May you supernaturally give jobs to those that need jobs. May you help them be at peace. They're not the only one going through the troubles. A whole nation is walking through the fire now. Lord, bless these people. Honor them. And let us be a light together to reach San Diego in the name of Jesus Christ. At his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of all, to you. Bless these people in Jesus' name. Amen.